Does the church believe in werewolves and vampires?
Well, now, as far as that goes, there is no. There have been theologians writing back and forth on it since the early Middle Ages. There is no defined teaching on vampires or werewolves, but there is a lot of commentary. Some of it saying they don't exist and they can't exist. Others of it saying, well, not so. They can. Because the church hasn't taken a definitive view. The individuals can think whatever they want about it. I would say, though, that it's important to remember, taking vampires first, that the vampire folklore, and it's folklore we're really looking at, is nothing like the vampire we think about, the vampire of literature, of romance, of Bram Stoker or Anne Rice. The vampire in folklore was really a possessed corpse. In other words, there wasn't a particle of intelligence, of human intelligence, left to it. It was simply a demon riding around in a dead body and keeping said shell going by drinking blood. One of the things that theologians pointed out in the Middle Ages who were writing about this stuff was that, as with anything satanic, it was a mockery of something God had done. In this case, a mockery of the resurrection. Because, of course, Christ rose from the dead. And the vampire is a sort of mockery of that. The best treatment of the vampire I've ever seen in fiction, frankly, and the most frightening, is not Stephen King, who does actually take a lot from Stoker. It's a newer writer, William Biersack, who wrote a book called The Darkness Did Not. And it has a lot of authentic vampire folklore in it, as well as a lot of Catholic stuff.
What do you think of Anne Rice's stories?
Oh, pure romances. I mean, they're not, there isn't a particle of folklore about them. I enjoyed Interview with the Vampire. For me, the vampire Lestat sort of fell apart in the middle. And then I didn't really care for Queen of the Damned. So that's pretty much how I've got with the Vampire Chronicles.
All right, with all of this, there is some talk, there's a camp out there that believes that UFOs are the reason why people think they've seen angels, demons, what have you. Your take on that?
Well, always with the caveat, if any of this stuff exists, because I don't know. I've seen funny lights in the sky, but they could have been swamp gas. I don't know. But all that having been said, for what I've studied about abductees and all this sort of thing, what it reminds me of are the fairies. You know, the elves, those funny folk that our ancestors believe they co-inhabited the earth with. Again, I have, incidentally, a reading list on my website, especially put together for your viewers. And I've got a number of books that go into this stuff there listed. Not by me, by the way. But one of them is by a fellow called Sinistrari, lived in the 17th century. Makes a big argument for the reality of what we would call fairies. He uses a different term. But look at what abductees are supposed to go through. The strange change in time, the odd, now you see them, now you don't-edness of their captors. The whole unreality of the thing is very, very much like the fairies. And if these beings exist, and if they do, then of course I would say they're terrestrial, not extraterrestrial. Just as to our ancestors, they appeared with castles and elven courts and so on, even as they're supposed to do today in some places. Well, what is this generation's mythology? Space. So if there's any truth to these sorts of things, and again, I don't know, but if there's any truth to it, I rather suspect that rather than being aliens from another world, they're whatever it is that have been here all along.
Are they entities or physical, in your opinion, if they've been here all along?
Well, once again, with my usual caveat, people who wrote about this sort of thing way back when maintained that they were what they called subtle matter, which is, well, sort of, it's more material than spirit, but it's less so than the bodies we have.
It's kind of right in the middle, isn't it?
Yeah, and those people, like St. Bonaventure and so on, they would hold that the soul, and really every what we would call spirit except God himself, was made up of the same stuff. And a little bit, perhaps, of confirmation of that notion, because matter has weight and so forth, is the fact that, as you know, I'm sure, at every death, we lose a fraction of the ounce, a fraction of an ounce of weight. So perhaps that's the departure of the soul. I don't know.